If you didn't know we were back in middays, where have you been? Where have you been? We've been here. How long have we been back in middays?
Oh, I don't know. At least
6 months, a year.
About
like
almost
that.
A year.
A year. I've been a year with you guys.
Yeah. You've been a year, Jorge?
Yeah, a year.
How's the year been? Are you happy?
Yeah, it's been cool. Yeah. No complaints. No complaints.
I bought you a Michelada the other night
there
at the Dodger game.
That's fine. No complaints. All
that
good.
Seals the deal. By the way, I'm going to do that again. This next Dodger homestand, I'm going to do that again. I will give away a night at a local baseball game. A night with Mason at a local baseball game. We'll do that again like we did this last time.
Are you
going
to show up on time, though?
I'm going to try. Okay. I'm going to try. I got there in the fourth inning this last time to see Max Scherzer pitch. All right, so Michael Thompson's hanging out with us, Mason and Ireland show.
Yep.
And John Ireland has a controversial idea of who I should take at number one in our fantasy football draft, which is coming up.
All right, so Mace is last place, Mace. He always finishes dead last no matter what he does because lately I would argue it's because you've been doing what all the experts say you should do. Last year you took Christian McCaffrey because every fan, Matthew Berry and Eric Carabel and everybody said,
who believes experts?
Said, take this guy, he gets hurt and that's it, okay? There's only two people I would even consider with the first pick. And I know I'm in the minority. One of the number one things any fantasy expert, including Matthew Berry, will tell you is do not take a quarterback in the first round.
Yes, absolutely.
But in our league, the only thing that really matters is touchdowns. And because the only thing that really matters in touchdowns, Patrick Mahomes is going to go in the top five picks. He does every time. And I would take him number one because he has the possibility to throw for 50 touchdowns. You know, Peyton Manning back in the day was so much better. Now, the argument is that, but then somebody else like Lamar Jackson will run and throw for as many as Mahomes, so you can wait. But he's going to go too. Mahomes is the one guy that if he threw for 55 touchdowns, you wouldn't say that's a shock. So I would consider taking Mahomes. And then the other person I would take, who this guy from USA Today says he wouldn't take, is Derrick Henry. First in carries, first in touchdowns for running backs last year, first in total yards gained. Why wouldn't you take Derrick Henry? Nobody can tackle him.
300 touches a year is why you don't take Derrick Henry. That's why you don't take Derrick
Henry. Michael, wouldn't you take Derrick Henry?
Yeah, because he's so durable, Mace. He doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, see,
he's the one doing the punishing when he runs.
I think it is idiotic to draft a quarterback in the first round.
Even a guy like Mahomes is going to give you 50 touchdowns?
First of all, we're assuming he's going to get 50 touchdowns, right?
If he stays upright, come on, he's going to do
that.
And
by the way, remember,
you got an extra game this year.
Just as a finer point here, we only get 4 points for a passing touchdown and 6 points for a rushing touchdown in our league, which is antiquated and all that stuff. So I get more for a rushing touchdown. There are more decent quarterbacks out there than there are decent running backs. I don't know how you don't go running back with your first pick.
We get 6 points for a passing touchdown in our league.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Oh, one of the reasons.
No wonder you're always in last place.
Yeah, and that's why Mahomes is so valuable. Because I mean, if he has a game with 4 or 5 touchdowns every week, nobody's going to be shocked.
Right, but it's
it.
A matter of scarcity, John. If you draft Mahomes at number one, who's your running back? Are you running in with Nick Chubb? Are you running in with
Nick
Joe
Chubb's
Mixon?
Great.
Are you running in with
Joe
Najee
Mixon's
Harris?
Great.
Are you running in with Clyde
Edwards-Helaire? I might take Najee Harris.
Yeah, I mean, not in the first round.
I don't know.
Oh, come on. Where are you picking?
I normally pick like 8th, 9th, 10th, somewhere
right.
like that.
You got to go running back.
I'm hoping that Mahomes would still be there, but in our league you won't. I would either take Mahomes or Lamar Jackson if he's still there.
Yeah.
But I don't think either one of them are going to be there.
Michael, would you go quarterback? Now, you don't play fantasy.
No,
would you go quarterback with your first pick?
I wouldn't play, but what's his name? Lamar Jackson is a good one because you figure he's going to throw for 30 touchdowns. He's going to run for another 10.
Right.
10 or 12.
And, Mace, you remember last year when he got it clicking. Really the last 2 years. There was nobody in the NFL like Lamar. I mean, he was throwing everything on a dime, and he was sprinting to the point where nobody could catch him. Michael, you called that early. You predicted it when he came out of Louisville.
Yeah, because he could pass.
I just think that if they protect him,
oh yeah,
The sky's the limit for that kid.
Yeah, give him some receivers he can throw to.
I wish he would get vaccinated, but that's another argument.
I think it's crazy, the idea of taking a quarterback in the first round, because I can get a guy that throws me 35, 38 touchdown passes in the third round.
No.
Like that guy's in the third round.
Like who? Other than Aaron Rodgers, who else?
Matt Stafford.
Oh, please.
What do you mean, oh, please?
He's not going to run for any.
No, he's not going to run for any. He's going to throw for him. He's got a big arm.
Yeah,
he's
Matt Stafford, for him. I don't think he'll be there in the third round, by the way.
But that's the kind of play I would make, right? There's quarterback value later than there is running back value.
Right. Well, there's fewer running backs than anybody else. But then, are you going to take all the experts will tell you to take McCaffrey again. Are you going to take him?
He gets hurt a lot.
It's weird. He missed time last. His season ended early last year.
Yeah.
He was healthy the year before. I don't know. I think I'm kind of torn between McCaffrey and Kamara.
Well, the only thing about Kamara is I think the Saints are going to take a step back. He had a ton of touchdowns last year. But I think they play in the same division as Tampa Bay. No Drew Brees.
Correct.
I'm not so sure they're not going to have to throw it and from behind a lot.
Yeah, I think they'll be better than that. I don't think they'll be great. I mean, it feels like a 9-8 team. By the way, we've got to get used to saying that, right? A 9-8 team instead of a 9-7 team.
By the way, ESPN has their, six fantasy guys rank everybody.
Yes.
You know, they don't even have Lamar Jackson in the top four
of
quarterbacks.
Yikes.
Not in the top four of quarterbacks?
Right. Mahomes is the consensus number one. Every one of those guys would take Mahomes as the first quarterback. Who do you think they would take second?
Aaron Rodgers.
Probably, I think Josh Allen.
Josh Allen is correct. Third is the one that will surprise you.
Baker Mayfield?
Kyler Murray. Because he runs and throws.
He does run and throw.
And then all
I had him last
guys.
Year, and I did pretty well in my league.
Then it's Dak Prescott, Lamar, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert, Tom Brady, Jalen Hurts. They have Jalen Hurts ahead of Stafford. They have Ryan Tannehill ahead of Stafford.
That's ridiculous. Honestly, who writes this? Oh, I want names. Who wrote this?
Matthew Berry. Yeah.
Bring me Matthew Berry.
Matthew Berry has Matt Stafford as the 12th ranked quarterback in fantasy
that's a joke.
Football.
That's a joke. He's going to have a monster year. He's
behind Jalen Hurts, who Matthew Berry ranks ninth.
So I want to put this out there. Number one pick, fantasy football. John Ireland says
I would
Patrick
take Mahomes,
Mahomes
or Derrick Henry.
And I would take Christian McCaffrey or Alvin Kamara. And, Michael, you would take Mahomes.
Yeah, definitely, because, I mean, that guy's going to throw for 50 touchdowns at least. But you got to remember, you got an extra game.
877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. We will do some calls on that. Hey, did you see Jeopardy officially named their
two Michael,
hosts.
you'll be happy with the girl they named.
Ooh.
Mayim Bialik from The Big Bang
Theory. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's
perfect.
She's
Sheldon's girlfriend.
She's a real scientist.
Yeah, she's a neuroscientist. Yeah she's going to do the specials.
Uh-huh.
So she'll do, the College Bowl and the high school kids playing all the spin, and they're going to do a spinoff of Jeopardy. Then Mike Richards, who's the executive producer, is going to be the primary new host Jeopardy. What do you think?
Who's he?
That's a very good question, Michael.
Nobody.
That's what a lot of people are asking.
He's an executive producer guy who I actually worked with in the past, who seems like a decent guy. And
apparently he was grandfathered in there when they hired him as the executive producer.
Yeah, supposedly he was the executive producer of Price is Right, and they said, hey, come to work for Jeopardy, and we'll give you the job when Alex retires. And so they're following through with the contract. He's got some stuff in his past. That we thought might prevent it, but
like what?
Mike Richards is going to be the guy.
Not domestic.
John, how would you phrase it?
Domestic abuse?
No, not domestic abuse.
DUI.
He's had some women issues.
Oh,
yes,
harassment, sexual harassment.
Yeah,
Not. I wouldn't say issues. I would say he doesn't seem to be as kind to maybe allegedly. You know.
Yeah, just Google it. He's women have filed harassment complaints against him in previous jobs.
Well,
more than one.
I always say you got to prove it.
Right. But apparently these women were pretty pretty convincing, but it didn't matter. He got the job. So there
yeah.
you go.
No, they settled stuff and all that business. But Mike Richards and Mayim Bialik are, and Lindsay is all upset because she wanted LeVar Burton to get it.
Oh, LeVar.
Well, I think a lot
He's
of people
great.
Did.
Yeah, a lot of people. Like LeVar it's not Burton. Just me. I would say like most of social media that's commenting on this is disappointed that LeVar Burton didn't get it.
Hey, Michael, we were talking earlier about Dennis Schroeder passing up the $84 million.
What was Can you thinking? Believe?
Oh. What was the – you went to college with Bill Duffy. Well, didn't he have – didn't Duff miss a deadline on a guy?
Yeah.
Mason said he would fire the agent, and the guy didn't fire him?
Anthony – I believe what's his name. Anthony Carter might have been his
yeah,
name.
Yeah, that's who it was. You're right.
Played for Miami. He missed filing a $3 million option to file in for his $3 million bucks. And I think it was around $3 million. So he missed the deadline on it. Somehow it slipped his mind and slipped his agent's mind. Maybe Duffy felt it was his fault. And Duffy gave him the money, even though he missed the deadline. And the Miami Heat kept him around for less money. But Duffy made up the difference, paid it to him. But Dennis Schroeder, $84 million for 4 years. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know whoever his agent was did him a disservice. Maybe his agent told him to sign it. Maybe his friends and family were telling Dennis, that's a lot of money. You're 27 years of age. You'll be 31 when this runs out. Sign it. You can get another contract after this. $79 million he cost himself. He Nerlens Noel himself.
Right. Oh, that's like Nerlens Noel did this a few years
ago. $72 million for 4 years. He turned down, and he's been – Mace, this is how crazy the NBA is.
Right.
Nerlens Noel, after that 3 years ago, has had to get by Lindsay on $2 million a year.
Oh, no.
Oh,
yeah, still, though, Michael.
Yeah. But I know what you mean,
the
Lindsay.
The NBA is a game of musical chairs, if you think about it.
Lindsay, I know $2 million a year is still incredible money, but he could have been making $16 million a year.
Oh, it makes me sick. Like, if that were me, I said my career would never recover because I would never be able to mentally get over it.
Yeah, this happened to Caldwell Pope a couple of years ago. Detroit offered him $85 for $5. He turned it down. And he played for 1 year deals after. Now he's made it up on his last deal. He's finally made the $85 million back after his last Laker deal. But he had to go through the ropes over like 3-4 years to try to make that money back. I don't know, Lindsay, what these. It's like the NBA money is so crazy. Guys lose perspective on how much $21 million a year is.
Sure.
That's what happened to Dennis Schroeder, I believe. He just lost perspective how much money that is per year.
Now, is that his decision or an agent's decision?
Had to be his because he's a grown man,
right,
and he's got to make
the
final decision.
For him. I'm with you, Michael.
Yeah. But don't you rely on an agent to say, hey, yeah, look,
there's
$20 million out there for
you.
There's $100 million out there for you.
Don't you think the agent, though, was obviously, like, gauging interest around the league when he was offered this extension to say, hey, like, this is probably what – these are the scenarios of what could happen if you do not sign this extension. This is likely what could happen if you play well. This is the worst-case scenario if you don't play well. So, obviously, at some point, Dennis Schroeder weighed the risks himself and thought that passing it up was obviously a better risk for him than taking the money.
Sometimes you got to realize not everybody is Kyrie Irving or Kawhi Leonard, okay? So, when someone offers you $21 million and you think you're worth $25 a year and they offer you $21, take the $21 and move on. I don't understand it, Jorge. This young man, if I see Dennis, I'd slap him. Now, he beat me up, but I'd slap him. So what were you thinking?
Wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up.
My goodness. Now he's got to go play for $6 million. And then hope, Lindsay, that someone would want to give him at least $70 million next year.
Yeah.
Good grief.
Yeah. All right. Hey, coming up next, let's get some phone calls in here. A lot of calls about who should be the number one pick in fantasy football this year. I have it in our league. Johns says take Christian McCaffrey.
No,
I'm sorry. John says take
Patrick
Mahomes
or Derrick Henry. Sure things, guaranteed.
And I say Christian McCaffrey or Alvin Kamara. And Michael Thompson, where are you? You're Pat Mahomes.
Oh,
right?
Pat Mahomes all the way, man. You can get him. You don't pass him up.
All right.
Would you guys be shocked if he threw 60 touchdown passes?
Oh, how much is that per game? 17 games. What would that average, Lindsay?
Yeah, there is an extra game this year.
That's that four touchdowns a game. Is that what it works?
Yeah, I'm not good at
math. Three and a half touchdowns a game. He could do that.
Easy.
Because 4 times 16 is what?
64.
16. Yeah, so he could do 3.5 touchdowns a game. Yeah, of course he can.
All right, we'll get some phone calls in here coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so I just sent.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Ireland. Video of my golf swing. This is me hitting my driver. And I keep telling you, John, you're giving me 26 strokes, and it is not nearly enough for this to be competitive. You're looking at my driver right now. What do you see?
Your swing looks pretty good. And the fact that you hit it out to the right is no big deal. Everybody does that. But I actually think now that, Michael, if he averages a 7 on every hole.
Yeah, for how many holes?
Nine.
Okay.
He would shoot 63.
Right.
And he would win. That would mean I would have to shoot 37, and I'm not shooting 37.
So, yeah, there's no way.
How many strokes are you giving
him?
26.
On a 9 holes? That's too many.
Michael, I told him. Michael, that's what I told him.
26
shot,
over 18.
I just broke 70 on a par 3.
Yeah,
just 9 holes.
That's
I just
true.
Broke.
My
70.
Only hope, Michael, is that he pulls like what Siwoo Kim did over the weekend and takes a 13 on one hole.
Well that's likely to happen.
Yeah,
don't even put me in a trap. I'm dead in a trap. I'm just
no, I already told you you could take it out with a 2-stroke penalty.
Yeah, I'm just taking the drop. Exactly right.
Yeah.
All right, so we're talking about who should be, and Michael Thompson's hanging out with us today, which is always fun. Who should be the number one pick in fantasy football this year? John Ireland says Patrick Mahomes. Michael Thompson says Patrick Mahomes.
3.5 touchdowns a game is all he has to throw for.
I say you've got to go running back. You've got to go running back.
All right, before we get to that.
Well, wait a minute. If he throws for 3.5, that's 59. Like Ireland says, that's 60 touchdowns. What other running back's going to get?
The point is, Michael, you're going to wind up with a B-level running back who gets you zero production.
There are fewer good running backs than there are good quarterbacks. That's the strategy.
Right.
But I think Mahomes is once in a generation. I think he's a modern day Dan Marino. That's why I would take him. But Kev in Pasadena, Mace has a grievance with you.
Oh no,
Kev, what do you got?
Okay, the name is Kenneth. Last time I talked to Steve, John, you're on vacation. He was having problems with possums. I told him possums is a delicacy. He can go to Walmart and get possum soaked in coon fat. Now, back
to
this with the shoes. Listen, when you go to the airport, the best thing to wear is Crocs with socks on. How many times you go there and you see people barefoot walking through, you know, to check their bags and all that
TSA,
stuff?
TSA, yeah.
Just straight nasty.
That is as bad as wearing slides or sandals into the airport onto an airplane. It's just it's a plastic shoe filled with holes.
Yeah, they look comfortable, but I'm kind of with Mace. I wouldn't wear them.
Plus, Michael, you're an NBA player. You have to wear slides with socks like all NBA players
yeah.
do.
Yeah. Thanks, Kev, for the call. By the way, I don't think you can go to Walmart and buy possum.
With coon fat.
I don't believe you can do that, Dev.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Here's Devin in L.A. Hey, Devin, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen and ladies? I have I got a quick question for MT, Michael Thompson,
yes, sir.
And for Lynn. But, Mace, you're completely tripping, man. I'm 1,000% with John Ireland on the fantasy football. I wouldn't go Patrick Mahomes first. I would probably go Derrick Henry number one per se, because you could get a decent quarterback later on down the line.
There you go.
Number two, Crocs, man. I went to go buy my daughter a pair of Crocs. Those things were $100 freaking. They're
what?
More than any shoes I own, okay? And number three, my question for Michael Thompson and Lindsay as wrestling fans, what do you guys think about AEW and CM Punk and Daniel Bryan going to AEW?
That's a good question.
Yeah, great
Michael.
Question. It is.
I trust you that it is.
Just shut up and let me and Lindsay talk.
Yeah, okay, good.
CM Punk.
the Michael and Lindsay show continues.
CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, they're all right. I can understand why they want to go to AEW, because that is the major league of wrestling right now. The WWE ain't even single A in wrestling anymore. It's so bad. But AEW is a real thing. And Ric Flair was released by the WWE. I'm surprised he's not with the AEW yet. But I think it's a smart move for all the wrestlers to leave the WWE and go into the AEW if they got room, because that is where the best wrestling is. Right, Lindsay?
Yeah, the wrestling's definitely better, but I don't think CM Punk. Yeah, I don't think CM Punk going there is like that big of a deal, because to me, I'd rather see him go to WWE, because the whole feud with like WWE and Vince McMahon and all that, I feel like that's way more interesting going to AEW.
And Michael, I agree with both.
There you go, Mace.
It's Hulk Hogan's birthday. Happy birthday.
It's Hulk Hogan's birthday. Yeah,
she's a Hulk. That
today. Come out of the closet, Mace. You did it once. Do it again.
What am I this time?
Oh, you're a closet wrestling fan.
I am not, unfortunately. I am not in the closet about that.
Oh, come on.
No. I go to the closet when it's on. That's how it works.
Dante in Corona is online. Hey, Dante, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hi, and ladies, nice to talk to you guys. I have a couple different points. One with the fantasy. You definitely, it's a different year, so you got to take into consideration the extra game. The quarterbacks are going to throw more touchdowns, but you want to – he has a real good idea going Kamara because Thomas is hurt.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. Or Dalvin Cook in Minnesota.
That's a good idea, too.
But I would definitely go – yeah, running back, because it's not a lot of running backs this year, and they're getting an extra game. So you can have a lot of value with quarterback. Go fourth round, fifth round, get you like a Josh Allen or Tannehill, somebody that runs and pass, or even go fifth round and get like a Tannehill. But you have to stack up on running backs this year.
Yes.
The guy in Pittsburgh, the rookie's a good idea. Jacobs out of the Raiders.
I agree.
But don't running backs, they don't carry the same workload as, say, a Derrick Henry, because they only carry like 15 times, may catch two passes,
and Derrick,
right?
Derrick Henry carries it like 30.
Yeah, but like, for example,
times.
McCaffrey catches the ball, runs the ball. I mean, he's an all-purpose back.
Yeah.
All right, you got something else?
Out of Philly that catches and runs, Sanders, you can get him maybe sixth round. So you need to go running back, wide receiver, running back, quarterback. And you know what I mean? It's not a lot of running backs this year. You will lose if you get a quarterback early. It's too many quarterbacks available to get like a Mahomes. You can get your guy Stafford like in the seventh round, but stack your team first, if that makes sense.
Yes,
and the Lakers are
going to
win the championship. We got a deep roster.
Hey, what do you guys think? Wally got you here. What do you think of the Lakers? Look like
next. Thanks,
guys.
What do you think about the Lakers being interested in Isaiah Thomas?
It's interesting.
Yeah, I like it.
Interesting.
I like.
He just scored 61. Where's he playing?
He played. He scored.
It was 81.
Right. Where's he playing though?
Some pro-am up in Seattle.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there actual interest, or is this?
They're actually thinking about it. He's still got some basketball left in him. I like Isaiah Thomas. Tough little guy.
I think it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting. Yeah. I mean, we need shooters.
That's right. He can flat out shoot.
He can score. John, what do you think?
It's
he's not on another team, so you're allowed to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's totally a free agent. Matter of fact, he's open. Anybody could sign him. I've always liked him. He played very briefly for the Lakers. I thought he kind of got a raw deal. He got hurt, so he didn't get a chance to cash in on that big all-pro season he had. But I wouldn't hate it. They need shooters.
Yep.
And it just, Michael, I think what it would depend on is, would he be willing to accept an end of the bench role?
Oh yeah, he would. Just to get back in the league and get a chance to prove himself, he'll take any role.
If he'd be willing to, you know, realize there are going to be some nights where he doesn't play at all and other nights where he contributes a lot, then I'm totally up for it.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have much choice right now. He doesn't have a job. I don't know, you know, he's going to have to accept whatever role becomes available. And if that's the last guy on the bench for the Lakers and he gets hot one night because he gets in a game, good. I mean, we don't know what these rotations are going to look like right now.
He's going to have to take the John Ireland approach and attitude, accept any role working with you.
Yes. Exactly. So I wanted to ask you guys, because I think this is a good subject for right now. Who do you think the Lakers' finishing five?
Oh, that's a good question.
Are going to be?
That's a great question.
Who are the five guys on the floor at the end?
You mean
of games?
The other two, along with the other three?
Correct. We know what three of them are, right? It's the other two that make it interesting.
Well, here's...
so I'm assuming AD, it'll be a small lineup. I'm assuming so. AD at the five. That's my assumption, anyway.
Well,
what do you guys think?
Frank Vogel's a very flexible coach, Ireland. So whoever the other two guys are, THT or whoever it may be, Ellington is having a great night, they'll be out there with the other three.
Well, I think you need one shooter, and you need somebody that's basically going to be a prime defender. Because
yes.
Frank Vogel loves defense. So I think Talen Horton Tucker has a chance to be one of those five. Because he's long and he can defend a little bit. And if you need to, he could score.
Bazemore then, plays really good defense.
Yeah.
Right. But I still think, if you're going to put THT out there, you need one of the outside shooters. So it's either got to be Kendrick Nunn, Malik Monk, Wayne Ellington, or Melo. Somebody that can hit from the outside.
Yep.
So I think that's your finishing lineup. The big three.
I'm going to predict
and one of the shooters.
I'm going to predict most of the time it's going to be the big three and then THT and Melo.
Do you think THT can be in the finishing lineup?
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah. This is his third year coming up, and he's going to improve.
How many minutes do you envision him playing a game?
25 a game.
I think he goes into the Michael Cooper role. He's not going to be the defender that Coop was.
No.
Nobody is.
Yeah.
But Mace, Talen Horton Tucker, if you did a spreadsheet and you put every 6'4 guy in the NBA on the spreadsheet, Talen Horton Tucker has the longest wingspan,
right?
And he's the heaviest.
Yeah.
He's 235. So you can use that to defend guys.
The thing I didn't like about Talen Horton Tucker last year was he plays. I feel like a lot of the time he was out of control. He was not in control on the floor.
He gets a little excited.
He was just ramshackle, rammed to the back. I mean, I think Stu Lance called him a rim seeker. He's always seeking the rim. Mm-hmm. Do we need that kind of player on the floor when we've got Westbrook on the floor?
Well,
that's the question.
If he does that and he does it on his own, they'll just take him out. But, I mean, he's not going to be a focus offensively. But what you need is they're going to be an incredibly hard team to defend with LeBron, AD, and Westbrook. You got to double team one of those guys. And, Michael, I think it's going to be a lot like it was when we had Shaq and Kobe on the same team. You had to double them, and Rick Fox, Robert Horry, Derek Fisher all made a career out of hitting wide open threes.
Yeah, Brian Shaw, another one.
Right, if you can hit those threes, then I think you have a chance
to
be out there.
Well, they got this.
Right, I want to ask you guys something when we come back. A surprise couple came out of the Friends reunion. Have you heard about this?
No.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's coming up next for you, and I want to talk about coworkers and dating when we come back also. Mason in Ireland, Michael Thompson's hanging out with us today, 710 ESPN.
Can you just shut up and let me and Lindsay talk?
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Okay, good. All right, so here's my finishing five, and tell me what you think. Obviously, Westbrook. I'm going to start Bazemore because he's a shooter who plays defense. I'm going to start LeBron. I'm going to be either Melo or Ariza, depending on how Ariza looks. But Ariza is another good 3-and-D guy, and AD. What do you think?
Say that again, Mace. You dropped out just for a second.
Westbrook, Bazemore, shooter who plays defense. LeBron, Melo, or Ariza, depending on how he's playing, because he's a 3-and-D guy, and AD.
I don't hate that. And Michael, you got to figure that these guys like Bazemore and Ariza don't have to give you 30 minutes.
No.
They got to give you maybe 15 to 10.
Right.
And in that capacity, I think that all these guys can contribute.
Boy, I tell you, Frank Vogel's going to have some tough comments. Because you're right, all these guys as support players, as contributing players can have moments. THT. But I would stick with THT and Melo. Melo's a clutch shooter. He's not afraid of a big moment. He's been there, done that a million times in the playoffs and in international basketball. So you can trust him at crunch time in the big, big games. And THT is going to be, I think, going to blossom into something really nice this year. So, yeah, Ariza's a good one, another good one too. Mace, like you said, Kendrick Nunn can flat out shoot.
See, I think Kendrick Nunn is going to be an ideal sixth man for them.
Sixth man? You think he'd be the sixth man?
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
Don't you?
Well, I mean, he's young. He can shoot. He's athletic. He's got developed possibility to be that guy, the sixth guy, the first guy off the bench.
THT could be the sixth.
Yeah, THT could be that guy too. You're right. But Vogel sort of goes by who's having the big night that night. I think that's what's going to come down to on many nights.
All right, so Mason in Ireland, Michael Thompson's hanging out today. I wanted to get to this because I think it's fascinating. So after all these years, remember the Friends days, it was Ross and it was Rachel, Ross and Rachel, Ross and Rachel. And they finally did get together on the finale or in the final season of that show, right? They ultimately did. Well, now it is being reported that David Schwimmer and Jennifer Aniston may be dating.
Well, you know that Schwimmer came out today and said it's not true.
I know he says it's not true, but everybody denies, denies, denies.
Why would you deny that?
Well, because it's private. Your relationship's private. I know Schwimmer's denied it.
Not when you're a public eye like those two.
Well, and it was actually his people, not him himself, but his people denied it.
Yeah, I don't think that means it's not happening. I just think it means you deny if you want something to be private or to remain private. But regardless of that, it made me think, because they met on the Friends finale show. How do you feel, and Michael, you'll be good at this, how do you feel about coworkers dating?
I have no problem with it, but seeing consenting adults, Lindsay, you maybe take it different from a woman's perspective, but if you are a woman and a man, you like each other, I don't see a problem. Or a man and a man, woman and woman, whatever it is, if you're consenting adults and you want to date, what's the big deal?
Yeah, I've always said the same thing. Most people meet their eventual spouse at work or through work. So I don't think you can – I've always said it's unrealistic to make a rule that you can't date coworkers.
Yeah. What do you think
about
that?
Lots of companies have that rule. Yeah. I don't know. Do we have that rule, Lindsay?
I think most companies, Mace, have
– I think
have
it's like
you
a
have to disclose it. It's not against the rules, but you have to disclose it.
Think about how archaic that is, Lindsay. Let's say in the NFL, a lot of the girls who are dancers can't date the players. Now, suppose they meet in a social setting and they like each other. Just because they work for the same team, they can't go out? That's archaic.
I think that's especially stupid because they're not working directly together whatsoever.
Right.
I think the reason why companies want people to disclose it is for, like, you know, promotion and treatment purposes, because most companies have a rule where, like, a superior, like a boss can't date somebody under them and vice versa. And so I understand that reasoning because, you know, the whole idea of like the position of power or balance of power type of thing. But I think it is kind of weird that people have to, like, say, hey, we're dating. We just wanted to let you know, HR. I don't know.
Okay.
It is kind of weird.
Linz, guys, I think it's an awful idea.
Really?
To
why?
Be a coworker. Absolutely awful. Because there are issues. First of all, if I'm a company, I don't want my coworkers dating. And one of the reasons is lots of relationships don't work out. Like, you date for a while, and then you don't like each other, and you break up, and then you wind up still working with somebody that you don't like. That's one of the reasons. The other reason is exactly what Lindsay's talking about, is those power dynamics. So let's say the CEO wants to date an intern. Wasn't there actually a case of that recently? I forget who it was. But a CEO wants to date an intern, or a vice president wants to date a somebody down the ladder somewhere. There's a power dynamic that exists that is really, really dangerous. I think it's a huge mistake. I would support the policy completely, no dating coworkers. And I know it happens. I know it happens. It's just a terrible, terrible idea.
I don't know.
It's happened at every station I've ever worked at where coworkers.
Right, and you have nightmare stories about it.
Right, but I don't think you can stop it. I really don't. And I have no issue with declaring it. If you're particularly, like you say, Mace, if there's a power dynamic that, like, if
where'd we get this from? The newsroom?
No,
from we got this from the morning show.
Yeah,
where they had exactly the situation.
Well, and that was the Matt Lauer thing,
right?
Basically, Steve Carell played Matt Lauer on that show, and so that can lead to some. Like, that turned into a huge mess.
Well, that's different because he was forcing himself on those women, right?
He says he wasn't.
Well,
he says he wasn't, yeah. But I think it's especially stupid for management to date an employee. Management dating an employee is a huge
mistake. But if you're management and you meet someone, you fall head over lust for him and you first see him and you can't get him out of your mind, what are you supposed to do, Mace?
What about when it goes south, Michael?
Well, and be professional.
Let's,
be
most a, of these, let's most
say you
of
break
these
up.
Go south.
Let's say you break up amicably. Amicably. Why have you said that word?
What percentage of breakups enough. Do you think are amicable?
Well, if you're a nice person, you will, right? If you don't know, if you're not a jerk.
I'd say it's about 50-50, yeah, right? How many relationships that end are amicable? Because I've had some ugly ones that ended badly.
Well, that's because you were the immature one, right?
No, I was the mature one, Michael, all the time.
Well, hopefully both of you will be understand it's not working out. Let's go our separate ways, but we can continue to be professional. That's called being an adult, Mace.
Ireland, have you ever done it? Have you ever dated somebody you work with?
Well, I met Lisa at a TV station, but she was on another side of the building, so I didn't it really wasn't that type of dynamic. I'm trying to think if I ever did. People in TV news, everybody at TV news hooks up with everybody else.
Lindsay, have you ever had a crush on one of your bosses?
No, absolutely not.
Why does that have to be one of her bosses? It
well,
because
she said about the upper management, the lower management.
I mean, I will say that most of my closest friends I met at work. So I could see there are some people that I'm like very, very, very close friends with, like two of them that are guys I would even consider my best friends, that like, I guess I could see how like a relationship can develop in those situations very easily. And I don't think it's really that big of an issue, especially when you don't work directly with each other. Like, if you're working together on a day-to-day basis, especially in what we do, I don't think that I can understand why it would be frowned upon or maybe, like, not even allowed. But if, you know, you just work for the same company in the same building, like, it's probably not a big deal.
Yeah, Mace. What's wrong with that, Mace?
Okay, so I've broken the rule myself. I've broken this rule. So, and we've got, by the way, there are people that stream the show in Toledo, Ohio, so this will be a bulletin to them, but I did a show for 4 years in Toledo, a 93Q WRQN. It was called Mason and Diane. It was the morning show, Mason and Diane.
I met Diane.
You met Diane. Yeah. Little did everybody know, Diane and I were together. We're actually living together at that point.
And most people didn't know.
Virtually nobody, even people at the station didn't know. It was a guarded secret.
Who at 710 is living together and we don't know?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a very good question.
Slee, we know it ain't Slee with anybody. He ain't got no dates.
Slee. I heard Slee has got a girlfriend now.
No. Yeah, I did too.
The kind you blow up or what?
No.
Because we ain't never seen him.
Man.
We ain't never seen a Jorge. That's right. He can put her in the trunk and he starts to go someplace.
Oh, man.
How often do we finish a show with Michael and realize he got the best line of the day?
Yeah.
It always happens, Michael. Always. Yeah. That's why we love you.
Oh, man. Stop.
That's Sleeve pulling up his girlfriend every night.
All right. Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ireland 710 ESPN. Are we done with that pretty much now? Are we done promoting?
No, never, never.
Oh, never? Okay, good. Go ahead and promote it again.
Well, you can follow me on Instagram at Lindsay. And I'm right now I'm posting to my Instagram stories a couple things for today's question.
Lindsay, I'm going to tell you something. Hang on 1 second. You clicked out exactly at the moment you gave your Instagram handle, so give it again.
I think we just lost her.
Oh, we did lose her entirely.
Yeah, which makes Radio Tinder very difficult to do if Lindsay's not here.
No, I turned it off and I reconnected because you didn't hear me.
Got it.
Okay. So anyway, I was saying you can follow me at Lindsay Baseball because I'm posting a couple things for Radio Tinder today, like I just posted here. First one being, the Olympics are over, and obviously we all know that the U.S. won the total medal count. But in track and field, a closer examination of who stood on the podium reveals a different winner, not a country, but a brand. Athletes wearing Nike shoes took 21 of 33 podium spots, which is about 64% in Tokyo's individual track events, including hurdles, steeplechase, and the marathon. Nike's Super Shoe design surrounds carbon fiber plates wrapped in a pliable foam cushion that gives energy back to the runner with each footfall. Although other brands now utilize similar designs based off of Nike's, some athletes still think that the Nike shoes provide an unfair advantage. Do you agree that wearing these specific shoes are an unfair advantage? Swipe left or swipe right?
I don't buy it. I think that if they were, everybody everywhere would wear them. I just think that there are some, Michael, this happens in the NBA too. There are some shoes, or like on the PGA Tour, more guys play with Titleist golf balls than any other. But I don't think it gives them an unfair advantage. Do you?
No, not at all. Some shoes quality is better than others. And if you chose to wear that brand or go with that brand, then that's your fault.
Yeah, I mean, there are times where there's an inequity here. For example, in this particular case, I think anybody can run in Nike. I mean, if you said, right, I want to run for Nike, you get the shoes.
But these guys want to get paid, though. And Nike doesn't pay everybody.
True. There is, in swimming, there was one year a swimming
suit. A body suit
that appeared to give Team USA an advantage. I think they all wear body suits now. But no, I don't think this is a legit gripe. Nike is a running tradition. That's why Phil Knight started the company in the first place. If you're a great runner, I don't know why you wouldn't want to be with Nike. And you can buy Nike shoes if you really think they're that much of an advantage. So I'm going to swipe left on that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I would just switch to the Nikes. Even if I had a deal with Adidas or whatever, I'd be like, buy. These make me faster. I'm going to buy these. All right, so next one, which is one of the things that I sent to you guys.
Yep.
24-year-old YouTuber and influencer Natalie Noel, who is seen by many as the internet's favorite girl next door, recently posted on Instagram that she's in this year's Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. So she's not a supermodel. She's not even a model at all. She's just a regular, relatable, quote, normal-looking girl. And those are her words. And she embraces the fact that she's basic. She said, quote, in the modeling fashion world, you see a lot of real skinny and you see a lot of plus size models. And being able to be in the middle norm is such a large amount of the population. And I think that's so cool. So when people say you have a normal body, I love that. I love that I represent body normalcy. So just out of curiosity, and her name on Instagram is at Natalia Noel.
Yep.
Instead of seeing these fantasy-like, unobtainable women in the SI Swimsuit magazine, do you like the idea of seeing just regular women? Swipe left or swipe right?
Sure, why not? You got enough of the other girls. Mixing in some quote-unquote regular women makes sense to me. I don't know why you wouldn't do it every year.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is really healthy. A lot of the women that pose and are models are not necessarily healthy. They're women that are starving themselves to look a certain way to be in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. And this girl, by the way, she's a pretty girl. I mean, she's a very attractive girl. She looks, I mean, her Instagram photos are great. Her bathing suit shot on the Instagram is great. I say, yeah, I'm completely in favor of a quote-unquote normal woman being in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
Yeah, I mean, women are women, and you're right. Those Victoria's Secret models, come on, not even 10 women in the world look like that.
Yes.
And
exactly.
I say put women out there who looks like Natalie Noel, who looks like Lindsay, who looks like Maude, who looks like Wheezy from the Jefferson.
Does not look like Maude or Wheezy.
Well, put women of all kinds and all shapes out there because that's the real world. That's what
that's what I said to my friend when I saw this morning. I texted him and I was like, this girl makes me feel like I could be in SI Swimsuit magazine, you know, because she's not a supermodel. And yeah, I'm sure they had people come in and do her hair and her makeup. So like she looks a little bit better than she would just, you know, when she does her normal YouTube video. She looks a little bit, you know,
I think if you took a poll, Jorge, and I don't know about you, Mace, because you're out of this in Ireland. I think most men would prefer a curvier woman.
A curvier 100%. Woman.
Curvier. Instead of these, like, sticks they have for, like, the Victoria's Secret angels or whatever.
Yeah. Those women are not realistic whatsoever. And almost every single one of them has, like, come out and said since they kind of nixed the whole angels thing, like, yeah, I suffered from
right.
from, you know, anorexia, bulimia.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wasn't allowed to eat, and yeah. I have all these psychological issues because of it. And I just feel like having, you know, women that look more and more like the women that you'd see shopping at the grocery store or walking down your street, that's like a better role model for other women to look at and be like, wow, I could do anything I want. I could be like that instead
that's
of
right.
these other fantasy,
more,
you know.
More Oprahs and more Whoopies.
I'm kind of surprised that you guys said that.
Yeah, are you?
But I am. I just
yeah, why not?
Progressive people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, good, good.
Women are beautiful in all shapes and sizes.
Yes, absolutely.
Agreed, agreed. Okay, so here's another one I sent you guys, and I posted this on my Instagram. So an up-and-coming brand has accused Kanye West of stealing their designs to use for the merchandise for his Donda album. The clothing brand Infinity Gods have accused Kanye of stealing the designs after meeting with him at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium to discuss working together. In a TikTok that the brand posted, they said they were invited to send Kanye several pieces from their collection. And then during a business call with the rapper's people, the designers were told Kanye loved the items, loved the materials, and the design. Then, you know, a couple weeks go by, they don't hear anything. And the brand says their designs were released as the official merchandise for Kanye's new album. And they had no idea. So, like I said, I shared the TikTok video on my Instagram so everyone can see for themselves. But do you guys think that Kanye stole these guys' designs? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. He absolutely stole their design. I'm looking at the Instagram photos here and the photos that you sent. That is the logo with one small change. And I think these guys, and basically, you know, they showed Kanye this stuff, and he put out a slightly different variation of it. I think these guys have got a bonzo lawsuit against Kanye West for copyright infringement or stealing intellectual property. So, yeah, I absolutely believe Kanye stole this stuff, and these kids are right to be able to sue.
Not only that, if this Kanye should settle this, because if this gets in front of a jury, he's going to get his clock cleaned.
Oh, absolutely.
If this gets, you know, if outside people are allowed to decide this, it's not going to go well for him. And he's got, what is he? He's like a billionaire, isn't he, Michael?
Yeah, very
rich. Pay these guys off.
Yep.
And get it over with before this turns into a thing.
Or buy the rights to their designs. That's the easy thing. Uh-huh. If instead of stealing their design, say, here, I'm a billionaire. I'm going to pay you for the rights to this design because I really, really like it. That's the way you should conduct business. You shouldn't just steal something.
Exactly.
I think Kanye's in his own... He's in his own
universe.
His exactly. own universe.
I've been telling you that for years. He's spinning yeah. off the planet.
But he's a genius.
Yeah,
Kanye
genius.
Is a genius.
Hey, maybe not. Maybe he's not actually a genius, and maybe everything that everyone thinks is so great that he's done has been stolen. And he's
you think
the
he
first
stole
guy
everything.
To call him out.
Yeah.
He could have, because if he stole this, that's pretty egregious. It's very obvious he stole their design, and it was... Over the course of like a week and a half, they went from, hey, I like your stuff, let's meet, I want to check it out, to, oh, now all of a sudden it's being sold on his website as the official merchandise. That's pretty bad. So if he's going to stoop low enough to do something like that, who knows what else he stole or lied about?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I really like Kanye. I'll be honest, I don't listen to a lot of his music, but I like Kanye. I love what he stands for. I love the fact that he's out there trying stuff all the time. I mean, isn't he living in Wyoming and throwing church services right now?
Yeah,
I mean,
like
he's you know, he's really a fascinating guy, and I think there's lots of madness in the head of a genius. And
yeah,
I think
he's gonna cut off an ear soon.
Hopefully he stays two-eared. Yep. Hopefully.
Yeah. All right, Lindsay, you got one
more? Time for one more? Yeah, I got one more.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so Boston Beer Company is partnering with Pepsi to add another drink to its portfolio. It's a spiked version of Mountain Dew. So on Tuesday, the company announced its partnership with PepsiCo to deliver hard Mountain Dew with 5% alcohol. The boozy beverage will come in three flavors, original, black cherry, and watermelon, and it's expected to hit shelves in early 22. Are you in on hard Mountain Dew? Swipe left or swipe right?
Can it give you a buzz?
Yeah, sure.
Yes, it's like those seltzers. It's alcoholic.
5% alcohol.
Oh, that's
going to
be huge.
So you know what's weird about this? When I was a bartender in college, Mountain Dew was like the thing you drank that would like really give you a jolt, really
wake
you
up. Yeah, it's got more caffeine than the average soda.
So we used to, we would have a drink in the bar, and I'm wondering if these are even like the same people or if this has come back around in some weird way, called hard.
You stole your idea.
Well, no, called hard dew, and we would take a shot of Everclear, and we'd put it into a shake. You know, it's a shaker, right? We put it with ice, and we'd shake it up with Mountain Dew, and then we'd put a garnish in it and serve it. And we called it Hard Dew, and people ordered it all the time. I don't know why this didn't happen sooner. Because Mountain Dew is the thing that you drink a lot of if you want to, like, stay awake, right? Like, I never need to drink Mountain Dew,
tons
obviously.
Of caffeine.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a big jolt. So, this has been going on for years. Now they're actually going to market it and sell it?
It's obvious. I mean, it's definitely going to work because there's a generation of people that grew up on Mountain Dew, and the idea of drinking their favorite soda as an alcohol is probably going to be a really, really big hit. My concern is that kids drink a lot of Mountain Dew. And
right.
Does this make it more likely that kids?
No,
are
they won't
try
be able to buy.
The
they won't be able to buy it. Like my kids,
I never had to buy alcohol, John. I got somebody else to buy it for me, or we had a fake ID or something like that.
Kids go in and can't go in and buy Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Yeah, I mean, if they're trying to make alcohol like more appealing to a wider range of people and adults, like most alcohol, I don't think tastes very good. So this is something that like. I don't drink a lot of pop, but with it being a different sort of thing, I would definitely try it.
That, by the way, is undeniably true. That's why I use cannabis. I don't think a lot of alcohol actually tastes good. Do you?
Some.
Like, I'm not a beer drinker. I love beer. It's great for everybody, and, you know, it's great for you and all that stuff. You know,
it's great for everybody.
Michael, you would have been you would have been proud of me last night. I drank way too much red wine.
Oh.
Somebody, it was somebody's birthday, and a guy brought in two magnums of red wine that was really
Michael,
good.
You would have been especially proud for me. So I went to a 5-course dinner. I get food from this place called NutriFit.
Yeah.
And they threw a birthday party for their own company. Strongly recommend NutriFit. But they had this celebration dinner where a chef did 5 courses, and there was a different wine for every course.
Oh, yes.
And it was fantastic.
Oh, why didn't you invite me?
Next time, Michael. It was great.
Yeah, where was it?
It was over at Helms Bakery in Culver City.
Oh, it's too far.
And it was, too far.
I thought it was down there.
Unless it's in my backyard, I'm not coming.
Yeah, I thought it was down there in OC.
By the way, you're totally off the hook on coming to my Labor Day party because it's canceled.
Why?
Because of all this mask and indoors and outdoors.
So, Michael, how do you feel? Like a month ago, it looked like we were going to
be
back.
Was going to be there, he said.
Yeah, it's true.
The parked cars.
Be careful, Michael. Now somebody's going to come out and say that you should be fired by the Lakers because you hate all
Hispanic
guys.
So talk about Jorge.
But... Oh, by the way, this breaking news, Mace. Mookie Betts to the injured list.
Injured list, okay.
Yeah, that means, boy, I hope he's coming back.
It also means that breaking news on 710 ESPN is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com to find a location near you and to download up to $15 in coupons. That is bad news. Mookie Betts going to the injured list. And as you said, you were listening to Vesse last night, and this is a chronic injury. He's been on the IL 3 times now for this hip thing. And what did you say that the average person would have had surgery?
Well, Vesse reported that He said he can't say everything he knows. He apparently had a conversation with Mookie, but that if this was any other player, he would shut it down for the season and let's see where it goes from here.
What is it, like a nerve thing in his hip?
I think he might need hip surgery like you got.
Well, you better go see Dr. Clapper.
Yeah. How are you feeling, by the way?
Good. I feel like I'm 25 again, Mace.
Nice.
Yeah.
You sound like it, too.
Thank you, Mace. I'm telling you, Dr. Clapper will fix him right up.
Mason in Ireland, Michael Thompson hanging out, 710 ESPN.